it's kind of a vicious circle that the adults are ignorant, so therefore the children are not understood in the right manner, therefore they are not guided in the right manner, so the children don't flower in the right manner. So it's become like a vicious circle. So what we need to do is like break it.
Break the vicious circle.
Break the vicious circle. So some people who feel that they can help some parents, some educators, they should do the needful to open their eyes or to make them wider themselves so that they are able to look at the whole world and children in a new perspective.
Quite true.
And try to improve their way of looking and therefore act in a better manner.
Yeah, I agree. But what you are proposing is extremely difficult. On paper it may look very nice, and I agree with you entirely, but how to do it?
That was my next question.
There is a great need in our country of what we may call social movement. There is no movement in our country which we can call a social movement. Isn't it surprising that we had, at a time when India was still under the British rule, several social movements?
Yes, that's right.
Something has happened to our country. Today there are no social movements at all.
It's like what you said, that there is such a strong this thing of lethargy that people see something wrong and then they say, chalta hai. Theek hai.
If you probe further, you'll find at the root of the problem is our political system. Our political system demands one major movement, electioneering. Therefore, all the activities of society become concentrated only on one thing. Movements for getting votes. Why is it that people do not think of any other movement at all? It is because our political system demands that you must elect your members of parliament by electioneering, and that takes up so much of our time and energy that you have no time for anything else.
But in this case, the apolitical person, say the man on the street, if he is a part of society, and if a social change is really needed, and if he is on the suffering end, that is where the revolution takes birth. And if he is apolitical, then why does he bow down before the political system? Is it because he is helpless, or he gets bought by the system?
Well, this is a question to be inquired into. There are many, many reasons why this is happening. As I said earlier, we don't have many visionaries in our country. Or those who are visionaries, their visions are not being communicated. There are no facilities being created for. Government does not encourage social movements, excepting for those movements which are helpful for getting votes at the time of elections. The social leaders have no money, no resources. Those who are really able to do something, they simply don't have the money. Money is sucked up by political parties for purpose of election regime.
And for them the social change is only a tool.
Social change is hardly on their agenda.
And if it is there...
On the contrary, it is status quo of the society where caste system, communalism, all this is flourishing today at its own level, status quo level. They want to take advantage of it. And they are taking advantage. They may say anything on the platform, but what are they doing actually? It is flooding the money so that the caste system becomes subservient to the highest voting pattern. The money is being pumped so that the communal divisions are hardened. And we are constantly speaking of slogans like appeasement, secularism, pseudo-secularism, and nobody is touching the problems even at the depth level. If you ask any intelligent young person in India and say, please define secularism, only one short question, and yet it's a fundamental feature of our constitution, you will get surprising answers to this question. Some people will not be able to define it at all because they don't know what is the definition. Some people will give some answer derived from this lecture or that lecture, which is all partial. And conflicting answers will be obtained. I'm only giving one example, but many examples can be multiplied. What's the reason for it? It is, as I said, our highest energies today are being spent on electioneering. It is our political system which is extremely sick and is demanding, maladies are demanding medicines in terms of lot of consumption of money and energy for purposes which are not at all conducive to the progress of the society. Today there are no social reform movements as there were earlier.
So there is basically a complete degeneration of the value system of society that exists today. So
now you bring another dimension, and it's also extremely important, value system and dimension of values. In fact, in a sense, all these are interrelated questions.
Absolutely.
But it is good to raise this question rather with some focus. When we come to the question of values, one of the political leaders whom I had encountered at an early stage, I said, tell me, what is your idea about values? It's very easy. Democracy, socialism, secularism. I said, this is a political answer you are giving me. It was a surprise to him that there are dimensions which are different from political, where you have to think of values on different levels. When I discussed with him at length, even at the political level, what are the values of democracy, I asked him, tell me. He couldn't answer what are the values of democracy. Free election, freedom to vote, freedom of expression. But what is the idea of liberty? And he was a good leader, ultimately he became once a president of the whole Congress party. But he was quite innocent. He couldn't answer the question, what is freedom? And I asked many questions, I mean even to intelligent people, tell me what is freedom? Our country has not provided sufficient material on which people can think pros and cons about freedom. In India itself there are many levels of freedom of which we speak. We have one idea which is in the currency everywhere, sa vidya ya vimuktai. Vimukti is freedom. Knowledge is that knowledge which gives you liberation, freedom. What is the meaning of that freedom? Surely not to participate in electioneering is quite a different dimension of freedom.
So the meaning of politics as it existed, say, 100 years ago is very different from the meaning of politics today.
Yeah, that
politics
also.
Politics at that time was a call to aid your country, to help the country become better. But today, politics has become the name of a power game. So there is a fall, and we need to correct it.
The only question is, what is the means by which you can correct it? That is, I think this is your main concern.
This is,
and I agree with you. It's a very deep concern. How to shake this society, this country, so that higher dimensions of thought come into the picture, higher visions come into the picture. And there are, even if you disagree in the country, even if there are disagreements, I don't mind. But let it be on some very high levels of disagreements. Even with regard to political freedom, for example, there are many theories of freedom. And degrees of freedom that societies should give or not give is also a very important question. There is a dimension of freedom which is not spiritual, as in the case of vimukti, is a spiritual dimension. But even morally, am I free really to do what I ought to do? What is this moral dimension? And this is exactly the central question of values. At the minimum level, values have moral dimension. What is for me, for the society, for the world, which one ought to aspire for? This is the central question of value. What is the debate going on in our country, tell me? Has this question come up in our society in the last 60 years? What are the values that we ought to pursue? The one glimmering which has come up was when there was some thought of giving to our country in the constitution a new article called 51A, Fundamental Duties. I must appreciate that particular movement which led to the insertion of that new article in the constitution, Fundamental Duties. But even at the level of educationists, there has been hardly any debate as to what is the concept of duty, what are the different duties which are prescribed in our constitution now, and how you can instill commitment to these duties in our society, which is central question of educationists. But tell me, at least I have been in the field of education for years and years. I have striven to speak of this subject at many places in this country, at many fora, and yet I find so much lethargy in our country, even among educationists, to think of this question robustly. I am really disappointed that some of my very valued colleagues, they have very faint ideas about what are values. And when I talk about values, they immediately begin to count how many values there should be, 50 values or 60 values. And then what is called fundamental thinking on values, which requires a high level of philosophical thought, even philosophers of our country are not concerned about it.
So they refuse to indulge or even
engage themselves in... This is a very important question. Why should our philosophers of the country not take up the question of supplying to our country philosophy of fundamental duties? And why should people not even demand it? Why should education demand from philosophers?